The body is a unit, and though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, and also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gifts of administration, and those speaking in the different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Membership. It's something that we experience in so many different ways. I mean, chances are, if you're like myself, if you were to take out your wallet, you would wonder how you got it into your pocket in the first place, because you have so many cards. I go into places, and you know, you probably don't equate it with membership, but membership for me really is belonging to something where I am reaping the benefits. I think that's a pretty safe working definition when we think of the world that we live in. Membership means that by becoming a part of something, I reap the benefits. So think about some of the things that you're a part of. Some of you probably have a library card. Well, you get a library card. It might not cost you anything, but by joining up, you're allowed access to those things that you can use. How many CAA members do we have here? You have a membership. It costs you, but with it comes all these things, that all the benefits of the cost. But you have to pay for that one. But there are so many others that you could take out your wallet. Thank God for Costco membership. Where would I be without it? Or as I go to the state, Sam Club or BJ's Wholesale. I mean, my wallet gets thicker and thicker with all these memberships. And you've experienced them. You have them. I've shared this before. My favorite one is I'm a member of the official Three Stooges Club, and that shouldn't come to, it shouldn't be a surprise to any of you. But here's the deal. We live in a world where there are so many things that we can become members in. And as we look at it, most people are looking and saying, okay, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? The amazing thing about the church is, the question isn't, what's in it for me? The question isn't, what's in it for you? When we look at church membership, we see that when we were thinking about the fellowship of the believers in Acts chapter 2, It seemed that there was, with the work of the Spirit, with the salvation they'd experienced, that they had all things in common. There was a giving to the need of each other. And I'm talking about the fellowship of believers there. But when Paul's speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a reminder that we need to be reminded that we need each other, that we are members of one another. He talks about it in Romans chapter 12 too, and Ephesians 4, the need for unity in the body and an understanding that there's a requirement to membership. And I just want to take a few moments to be talking about this morning. When we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we become a part of the family of God, we become a part of the family in that new birth. John 1, verses 12 to 13, but as many received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We have that new birth in Jesus Christ, and it brings us into the family of God. It's automatic. You don't have a choice. You know, how many times have we heard people say, you know what, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And there are times that we go, yeah, it's too bad. But when you look at it, when you become a Christian, when you experience the new life in Jesus Christ, you are adopted into the family of God. You belong. It comes with your identity as a new believer. So I think there's a need for us to be reminded. When we look at church membership, that we are a member of the family of God. But being a functional family member means being committed. It means not doing our own thing. You know, when we think about membership in this world, we're reminded that really, in this world that everything seems to look at, you know, everything seems to be so relative. You know, well, I'm going to take this, I'm going to take that, I'm going to pick and choose. And life becomes, a lot of times, like a cafeteria. It's like the K&W that some of you might go to in the States. And you go along and you're going to pick up this and pick up that and pick up this. You know, when we look at church membership, the early believers, the early church, it was not about picking and choosing what was good for them. There was a commitment. It was all in. And so when we think about this relationship that we've entered into, there is a need as a family member to be committed. It means caring. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. The psalmist in Psalm 133, 3 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so there's a need for us, again, to have that caring aspect in our relationship. Being a family member means contributing. When I'm talking about the family of God here, people who refuse to get involved in problems of their community or in the needs of their community are like two shipwrecked men in a lifeboat. And some of you have probably heard this story before, but there's two shipwrecked men in the shipwrecked lifeboat. From their end of the boat, the pair watches those at the other end are bailing and bailing and bailing so frantically to keep the boat afloat. And one said to the other, thank heaven the hole is not at our end of the boat. You know, it sounds crazy. But in the family of God, there are needs that are there. And it's not for us to say, oh, it's not my need. There's a need to be reminded of our commitment to contributing and giving care to each other. And so this morning, as we're looking at this idea of membership, I would encourage you to be reminded that membership usually means perks and privileges and others will serve me. But there are many things that are so different when we look at the idea of church membership. The community of the redeemed is a community that understands that we belong to the body of Christ and we are related to one another. The phrase one another speaks of the inner relationships of Christians in the church and specifically in one's local church. It's interesting when Paul, especially as writing to the different churches, Paul is the first to say that there's one church, but when you look at the letters, when you look at the salutations that are given to the church in Ephesus, to the churches in Colossae, and it's going on, and there's very much an understanding that while we are members of one church, that there is the little C church, there are fellowships that we are called to be committed to. It's not either or, it's both. We are committed to the work of Jesus Christ, to the one church, but that illustration that there are many parts of the body really can take place when we start thinking about the fellowships that are around the world. And we are all part of one body, but committed locally and globally. We do this all the time. We're committed to the ministry of the gospel here, but we look at it and we give and we pray for the world, the worldwide church, the global church of Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand this interrelationship. People seek community, but genuine loving community is found only in Christ. The same Christ, our Lord and Savior, empowers us to live in a way, in a loving way that honors Him and ministers to others. And so as we move quickly here, I'm reminded of a number of things from a little book that I read, and some of you have read it, called I'm a Church Member. It discusses the attitudes and responsibilities of church members. Thomas Rainer addresses in detail what congregations should really be focusing. Number one, as a member, I will be a unifying church member. Number two, I will not let the church be about my preferences or desires. And sadly, the church has become an area of consumerism where people are going and they're looking for what they can get out. And folks, this morning I'm reminded that the church, the local church, is a place where we are drawn to, and we are to give. As I shared yesterday, At the wedding that I was doing, I said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And when we look at the church and we need to be loving one another, there's that call to love, not just for my own preferences or desires, but for the needs of others. Church membership says that I will pray for my church leaders. And believe me, Pastor Dan and myself and your elders are so thankful for your continued faithful prayers as we seek to be in God's will leading here. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. I will be a functioning member. I will treasure church membership as a gift. You see, church membership is being connected. Is already, as I already mentioned, is being part of the local church gives me a forum to obey the one another commands of Scripture in the location where God has put me. Responsibility. Being a part of a local church gives me a forum to discover and use my spiritual gifts in ministry. And the spiritual gifts are given not for me, but for the edification, for the building up of the local church. What I have is gifts, and what you have are gifts, as you discover them, are to be used, that I might be use of God, that you might be use of God, to minister to one another, and to see us grow in maturity in Christ Jesus, and to see His church grow. The accountability. And this is a difficult one for a lot of people when you think about the accountability of the local church. Excuse me. Reminds me of a wedding that I did a number of years ago. Came to the point when I looked at the bride and I said to her, do you promise to love and obey, to submit? And she stopped and said, submit? Submit? It's not a word that comes easy nowadays. Because submit more than ever means really giving up control. And yet, when we look at the church, to submit to one another means to come into that state of humility. When I become a part of the local church, I'm not just saying I want to be part of the life of the church, but I'm saying that I want this church to be a part of my life. I'm saying that I want to be a part of a group of believers to whom I give permission to speak the truth in love as I need to hear it. Church membership. Can I be a Christian without joining other believers in a local church? Yes. But it's something like being a soldier without an army or a football player without a team. It just doesn't add up. And I've heard many people, and please, I'm not trying to bring judgment or look them down hard this morning, but I've heard too many people say nowadays, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Then I wonder why Christ gave Himself fully for the church. He gave Himself for the church. The church was the Father's plan through Jesus Christ, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to see the world redeemed. There's no plan B. And so when we look at it this morning, a lot of people will say this, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, I think our Lord would differ with you. When an individual is saved, he becomes a member of the body of Christ. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Because he is united to Christ and other members of the body, he is therefore qualified to identify with the local expression of the body. To become a member of the church is to formally commit oneself to an identifiable local body of believers who are joined together for specific, divinely ordained purposes. Mark Batterson, in his book All In, talks about the inverted gospel. He says, while most people in most churches would claim to be following Christ, I think many of them have invited Jesus to follow them. Your local church plays a significant role in your spiritual life. In most cases, the local church is the primary source of Bible teaching, worship, discipleship, accountability, admonishment, encouragement, and fellowship. Again, we live in a world where independence is celebrated. In a relative society, mankind is picking and choosing the authority that they will or will not obey, the moral law that they will choose to honor or not honor. Does a church membership mean that I will listen to what the church tells me to do? Does this mean that I will come under the authority of the church? You are saying that I need to submit to the spiritual leadership of the church? And the answer is yes. I submit to the local church to shepherd me, to love me, to care for me, to build me up, to be confronted when needed, to be disciplined for my benefit. I place myself under the spiritual care of the church. But it's more than just about submission. When we look at this idea of coming into church membership, the second thing that church membership leads me to is a commitment to serve in the local church. I give my life in service to a particular group of people in a particular setting. Church membership sees a person come under the authority of those in leadership in the local church and to humbly give themselves in service. Church membership benefits you and those who make up the church. In salvation, we have membership in the church, identify with Jesus Christ, membership in a local church. The Christian and Missionary Alliance, we have three requirements for membership. One, a credible testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a confidence in our faith that we know that we have received Jesus Christ, his salvation, know our forgiveness in him. We believe in believer baptism. We believe in a commitment to the principles expressed in the statement of faith of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So this morning, as a number of you have expressed interest to enter into membership of the church, I encourage each one of us to think about it. I encourage us to think about it, but please understand this. Church membership just isn't about joining. We don't want an increased roll call. We want a body of believers that are increasing in their desire to serve each other, to serve Jesus, to use the gifts that they have been given. For the building up of God's church, to the building up of the other saints, to have a ministry one with one another. And I know that some of you have many reasons why you have not entered into church membership. And I just encourage you to think about the church membership that is expressed here through the Christian and Missionary Alliance. First and foremost, though, before I go any further, on a morning like this when we've talked about church membership, I would hope that each of us has an understanding that we have a confirmation in our souls, that we have a confidence that we're a member of the body of Jesus Christ, that we are members of the church. How does that come about? We're reminded of the table that's set before us. Jesus came into this world to do the will of the Father. This world is sinful. It's broken. It needs to be redeemed. It needs to be restored. And despite the man's many efforts, we fall short. Jesus came into this world to minister to those who were sinful and separated from God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Jesus comes in this way. And we read in Romans that he says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commended his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So a sinful people that are separated from God invited to come into a relationship by a God who's pursued us with his love, that he's come to us, we who are sinful, and says, you can have forgiveness in me. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. You can be one of the best people on this world, but it's one of the books that is so popular nowadays, How Good Is Good Enough? Good enough is only in Jesus Christ. And so, folks, this morning, that is my prayer for you. I would encourage you to be members of a local church, to be submissive, to desire to serve. But more than that, I would invite you to join into the relationship with Jesus Christ if you haven't before this moment. Understand that there's a loving God who accepts you just the way you are. A holy God says, come to me. I will forgive you of your sins. I will give you new life. I invite you into my family, and I have a plan for you. Let's pray.